Okay, let's open up with a word of prayer and get started. Lord, I thank you that you've gathered us all again together, God, and for those that are listening online, thank you for this special time where we can really, again, just try to capture your heart on how you feel about every person that you've created, the good things that you have for them, and how you want us to learn how to intentionally help somebody grow in their faith. Lord, we love you. I pray, Holy Spirit, you would fill our time and enlighten our eyes and our hearts and our minds so that we would truly understand everything that you are speaking to us through your word and through this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, again, I just want to thank everybody for coming and just being intentional about learning about just how to get in the game in an even greater way. A lot of you I know are already so involved, but hopefully your something here is really capturing your heart about how you can intentionally be involved more. And so I have two special announcements that will help actually get you in the game even more, and that is this Friday night from 6 to 9 right here is our vision, instruction, and prayer. And so we only do this twice a year where we really talk about our ministry teams and what does it mean to be a part of a ministry team. And we have a wonderful pastoral couple coming in from Louisiana that lead a church there, and they're going to be imparting to us. So if you are wondering what does it mean to be a part of a ministry team, or if you are a part of a ministry team, that it's open to the whole church. So this is a really, really practical way to act out everything you're learning in here. And also, for the ladies in the room, I'm going to pass around a sign-up sheet because, again, everything you're learning about, we try to provide really easy next steps for you to do so it doesn't feel overwhelming or anything. But how many have ever participated in our fall women's Bible study? Yes, it's amazing. This year, we're going to be doing Priscilla Shire, The Armor of God, so it's going to be powerful. For those that haven't been, we had about 200 ladies that participated last year. We have a noon study and we have an evening study, and we have everybody sit at a round table. The first night you sit at a round table, and then that's where you sit for the rest of the time, so that you kind of get to know the same people week after week, just like you're doing here in class. You start sitting with people, you get to know them. When we do the discussion time, you know, after you've taken this class, you're going to build some bonds here. You're going to build some friendships here just by being here, by being faithful and coming. And the same thing happens at the fall Bible study. And every table we have two leaders, two co-leaders, so that they help facilitate the discussion. And then if there's any needs, there's always needs that come up pastorally, you know, just, you know, sickness, going through a tough time. This support that comes from these times together is powerful. And all the stuff that you are learning right now, you could put into practice next month. So if you would like, if you're even interested, you're not signing, if you sign this doesn't mean you're like, if you're interested, and like I said, there's always two at each table for the purpose of discipleship. And also, sometimes something happens, you're sick, you can't come, there's somebody to cover. So I'm going to pass it around, and if you would like to, it starts the Monday after Labor Day. There's a noon study and an evening study. So if you want to put which one you'd be more interested in, because we had about 60, I think, at the noon one last year was amazing, and then the 140 or whatever we had in the evening. So I'll pass it around while we're talking. But that's all my announcements for today. How many went to the first service? It was amazing. Celebrating the nations. And then when Pastor James was giving his message, I'm like, wow, I think, forget it. He just said everything. I mean, like, what he said today is what we're going to talk about. So I'm so excited because we've been talking about how do we really get to know Jesus Christ? How do we get to know his ways? How do we live out this great commission, this apostolic mandate to go and make disciples, teaching them to obey everything? That sounds like a lot. How do we actually practically do that? How do we make sure that our own life and the people that we love around us have this strong foundation of a vibrant life in their own quiet time with God? How do they have a vibrant family life? How do they have a vibrant work life where they're making a difference in their neighborhood, their workplace, community? How do I know if I'm fulfilling God's will How do I even start? And again, talking about the people that are in your neighborhood, in your workplace, even in our congregation, there's got to be people in there. If, you know, God, you know, if something were to happen to them today, they would not have eternal life. There's just got to be. I mean, I know a lot of us that are coming, we love the Lord, we know our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but people are bringing their friends today, people are bringing co-workers, people are bringing family members that they're hoping are going to hear the gospel and make that decision. And there might be people sitting in here that are not even sure of their salvation. I don't remember if I said this last time, but a while ago, I met with a lady that had been coming to Bethel for years, and she wasn't sure of her salvation. And I just took time, and I said, well, I'll be glad to meet with you. And we met for a few weeks, and then I was careful to get her connected to a life group. But she just needed someone to sit and talk to her and explain the scriptures to her and make sure she really got it. And so I know there's people like that right now. And so when we go in and sit in the congregation, I wouldn't be surprised, and I'm probably sure, that God's going to let you sit by somebody in your row, or someone just stands out to you. You don't know why, you just feel drawn to go talk to them. That's the Holy Spirit wanting you to just engage with them as a person, as a human. Get to know their story. Find out who they are. Do they know the Lord? Do they have saving faith? Are they grounded? That's what we're going to talk about today, because the last 2 weeks we've talked about a lot about engage, just getting to know people. I hope that worked out for you to just be intentional about reaching out to someone this past week. And then we started on understanding that we've got to build a foundation for the person to grow on. There's something that we've got to get inside of a person that we're going to help. It's God that does the work, but He wants us to be His co-laborer with Him about that. And so like these arrows here, like when they come in and they come to know Christ, we want them to go deep. Why? Because we want them to grow up and go out and then share their story with somebody else. If we skip this part and then just say, well, just go out and do something. If we don't take the time to make sure the foundations are laid, then we're setting them up for failure. That they don't have the groundwork to stand on when the storms of life come. You know, the picture that Jesus gives of the house built on the sand versus the house built on the rock. If we just want to hurry and get them going and, you know, do all this without making sure, then we could set them up for failures. So we're going to go through 4 of the 5 foundations today by the grace of God. Help me, Jesus. That's a lot to cover in one day. But, so foundation number 1 is, salvation. So again, we want to make sure there's 3 things we want to remember about salvation. That lordship is not something you tack on later. You want to make sure they understand from the beginning. Really, to follow Christ means you take yourself off the throne and you put Jesus on the throne of your heart. What He wants, what He thinks, what He feels. And that's why we have to make sure it's that lordship message is in our own life. Because we teach what we know, but we impart who we are. If we're not living it, or we're saying, well, I hope that works out for you, it's hard to really impart something that isn't real to you. You know what I'm saying? Repentance means turning from sin. That's a one-time decision and an ongoing lifestyle. Turning from sin, turning to Jesus. And then the other side to that coin, you turn from sin, you turn to God. And understanding the 3-part message of salvation, so that, you know, we're saved, we're being saved, and we will be saved. And the big words for that are justification, sanctification, and glorification. So the minute we repent and put our faith in Christ, it's like that bride that walks down the aisle. You know, she's going to meet her groom. And there's stuff that if she were, you know, if they were doing things before marriage, you know, sex outside of marriage, it would be considered wrong. Okay? But now she's going to walk down that aisle, and then the minister's going to pronounce something over them. You're married. And now all of a sudden you've got a new name. I'm a wife. That's my husband. We're married. I got a ring. And now, you know, that's the appropriate place for sexual, you know, being together. That's the only place. So let's get that out there. Okay. Okay. Sorry. It's getting awkward here. Can you cut that off the tape, Monty? But anyway, just that declaration. So we're in the same as a human being. When we go stand before God, every person gets the same verdict. Guilty. Guilty. Nobody can say they're not guilty. If you've done one thing wrong, you're eternally separated from God. But then when we say, I make that decision to follow Christ, I turn from my sins and I turn to God in faith, then I get a new declaration made over my life. Not guilty. Not guilty. And not only not guilty, but my account is credited with Christ's righteousness. Did you know there was a couple here just like a week ago that had $12,000 worth of debt and they've been doing the financial peace? This is amazing, you guys. This is a Bethel church family. They had $12,000 worth of debt and they've been in financial peace and they're now one of our teachers for it. I guess Dave Ramsey's group, they randomly pick people to come and forgive their debt. They came and gave this couple, yeah, his daughter came and handed them a check and said, your debt is cleared. Yeah. Done, right? I mean, it gives me goosebumps. I mean, that is salvation. But here is the added thing. Now, that's their debt, they're at zero. For a Christian, our account is full of Christ's righteousness. Our account is full. We're not just zeroed out. We're not just like this kind of zero person. We're full now with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So that when God sees me, He doesn't just see Carol with her list of sins. And this is something I had to learn. And I had to walk out. Because I thought God was still looking at me and saying, well, you know, you don't do this right. You don't do this right. You don't do this right. But no, when God looks at me, this is Jesus. He sees me through His Son, His perfect Son. He sees me as the righteousness of God right now. Even though I might have sinned an hour ago and I might sin next week, He sees me right now as the righteousness of God. That's justification. That's my standing before God always. I'm in right standing with God. But how many can say from the moment you prayed that prayer and you got that new declaration over you that you've never messed up? That's the walking. That's now I'm being saved. That's what I'm going to do the rest of my life on this earth. I'm going to keep walking with Jesus. And I'm going to find out, oh, that thought wasn't in line with God's word. So I'm going to take that one off and put on the thoughts of Jesus. That action doesn't line up with God's word. Oh, I'm going to take that off and I'm going to say I'm sorry. And I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to help me live like Him. Taking off the old and putting on the new. Taking off the old, that's what we're going to do the rest of our life. And wouldn't it be nice to have someone to walk that out with you? Yes. Wouldn't it be nice to have a community of believers? That's why we have the church. That's why we have one another. So that's what sanctification is, a never-ending process, because nobody gets perfect this side of heaven. And then glorification, we will be saved, but there is a day coming. And that's why everything we do now matters. Not that we're earning salvation, but there is a day coming when all the wrongs are going to be righted. When Jesus is going to come in His glory and His power, and we're going to be transferred, and the new heavens and the new earth are going to come. We're going to get our glorified bodies, and we are going to be free from ever being tempted again, from ever sinning again. We will be saved. No more tears, no more pain, no more suffering. That's the Christian. That's a great message of the Christian hope. We are saved. Done deal. Being saved, put it off, put on Christ, will be saved, free from the presence of sin. So here we're free from the guilt of sin. This part, we're being freed from the power of sin. Right here, we will be free from the presence of sin. Isn't that good news? Amen. That's what we're living for. That's the gospel. And that's what people need to hear and receive and know that that's available for them. And that's why, going back to my, I love my picture of Michael and Mike. This is what we're doing. We're walking now with him. We're learning what that means. And that's why we're talking about these solid foundations, to get us strong, strong, strong in our faith. And the main way you can do that, if you can't remember one thing out of this book, you just say, you know what, Allison, you're a human. You probably have an amazing story. Boy, could we get together sometime and talk? And then she starts telling me her story. I'll find out where she's at with God, maybe a way I could help her, or someone I could point her to, and then I've started in the game. And that's all. If you take that out of here, then you're doing great. So, and I just found, like I said, it just happens through relationship. Like I told you last time, one of the young ladies I was helping many, many years ago, we sat on my couch and we cried because of all the pain she'd been through. And then another gal, we'd go to campus, and I had my 3-year-old son, and he always got to get frozen yogurt while I talked to this gal, and she told me her story, and then that was out. I realized some ways that I could help her grow in her faith and pray with her and see God heal her on the inside. And then one, this many years ago, but a gal that was coming to our church, a very young, she was a college student, and I decided to go visit her at her dorm room. And I was a little bit kind of shocked, actually, when I saw she was a professing Christian, but some of the stuff on her walls in her dorm room didn't really line up with what I would call, you know, walking your faith out, if you know what I'm saying. And so, by me, if I would just talk, had a, just a kind of a surfacey conversation every Sunday, I never would have known that. But it's like going and being with someone and learning their story and finding out about who they are. That's what it's important to do. So salvation is a gift we receive by faith. The second foundation is water baptism. And again, whether you use this one-to-one book or the purple book that everybody got, I'm going to try to be really brief about this because it's very well laid out in the purple book. So all you just say, listen, you know what? Your first act of obedience is, if you've come to faith, like we talked about last week, praying that prayer of salvation, the chance from darkness to life, the very first thing you want to do as a new believer in Christ, as well as telling people your story, is get water baptized. Can we set up a time to go through the scriptures and talk about it? And then just take them through and talk to them about what it means. Why is it important? These aren't our ideas. This is what Jesus asked everybody to do. I can have an idea of why, because I think it's something that we can, it's a very tangible and easy way of saying, the thing I said I did in my heart as Lordship, I'll show you by my actions. Because James said, faith without works is dead. So look, this is the one practical way of acting out my salvation. Yes, question.
I have a question for you.
I hope I have an answer.
And I hate to take your time up because I know you said this is packed, but I have a neighbor,
yeah,
who says they're saved, but they didn't get water baptized because of the fear of like walking down first in front of people and then getting, you know, just going down in the water. So
yeah.
How do you deal with that? And
that's
I'm
a great
not trying
question.
To really judge the person, because I wonder, it doesn't mean you're not saved if you don't get the water baptism, but I don't know how to deal with that or what I should take to her because she never did get baptized.
That's great. So the question is, she has a neighbor that is professes faith but has never been water baptized because she's afraid of going in front of people and afraid of getting wet. I've had the afraid of getting wet before, too. And I would just lovingly take them through, just not meet them there at the word, to go back to the word first. Because the word brings faith, and the word brings truth, and it's living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And then, as you go through these scriptures together and say, now, in light of this, just understanding that, you know, fear is not from God. Perfect love casts out all fear. So God would never make you do anything that would harm you. And so this is for you, you know, to honor God. And so I would start with the word first and then let the word build faith and let the word bring conviction, too. So that's a short answer. Yes, Cynthia?
I always like to compare. I
She said our first birth, we come out of water, and when we're reborn, we come out of water. You know, just that visual. Yeah, that's great. Yeah. So the main thing I want to point out here is that obedience is part of lordship. And so there'll be things like this where there's fear. It still doesn't excuse you. It's like this is something that Jesus asked us to do. So if he asked us to do it, there's a good reason. And I'm telling you, like I think we talked about last week. I mean, there's other countries where you will be cut off from your family if you do this act. I mean, here it's like, oh, I have to get a little wet, you know. But I'm telling you, it's like you have completely ostracized yourself from your community, from your family. It's a big deal in other countries. And so Jesus said, and if you want to write these verses down, Ramona, John 14, verse 15, he said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Matthew 10:38 says, and he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Luke 6:46 says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say? So again, it's a sign of obedience. And then it's water baptism is, it breaks sin's power to dominate you through the flesh. And these verses too, you want to take them through, and that'll be in the purple book. But I love the one in Colossians 2, verses 11 through 13, and it says, when you were dead in your sin and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive in Christ. So there's definitely something that's going on in water baptism. Water baptism doesn't cleanse us from sin. The blood of Jesus does that. But water baptism circumcises the old sin-loving nature. So we are all born with a nature that's bent towards sin. And that a lot of times when I'm sharing the gospel with people, did you have a question?
What do you say to those people who use the thief on the cross as a justification for not being baptized?
Well, that was a one-time occurrence, and he couldn't do anything about it. Everything after that is clear in Scripture, so we don't obey the one-offs. We obey the clear command. That's what I would say. So like when I'm sharing, you know, like nobody teaches a two-year-old to be selfish and say mine and cry. That just comes really natural, right? It's like, you know, it's pretty clear we all are born with a sin-loving nature. You got to teach them to be kind and to share. So we all have this nature left ourselves to kind of veer off, whether it's in sinful habits or self-reliance, whatever. It's like it's a nature that is apart from God that we inherited from Adam. And so we need salvation. And then there's something spiritual that God does in the water baptism. As we go into that water and we're identifying with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, in that moment, God's doing a spiritual circumcision, a circumcision made without hands, to not remove the sinful nature, but to the power, the bent that keeps us going that direction. God does something supernatural in that water. You're not just getting wet. It's much more than that. God uses a natural means to do a spiritual work. And so it's so important for a person to know that. So when they go into that water, they're going in by faith. They're just like, well, they told me at the church I should be baptized. But no, they know what it means. Something's going to happen when I go into those waters. I'm going to come up. I don't know about you, but I felt so clean after I got water baptized. It was just it was such an amazing experience. And that's what water baptism does. So that there's, again, a lot of scriptures here. But just the main point is that this is an act of obedience. And it's not okay to, you know, have objections. It's like this is part of laying your life down, knowing that God's doing something and taking the time to walk somebody through that. Now, what we do here at Bethel, because we're a bigger church, is that we actually ask you to come to the foundations, the Connect class, to our first class where it's all explained in there very clearly. So if I were you, if you have a brand new person, just bring them to the class. Just say, hey, I'll go to the class with you just to make sure you understand what's going to go on. But as a disciple, as a follower of Christ, we all should be able to share that with somebody. And, you know, you don't need to go to a class. You know what I mean? So, did you want to ask something? Okay.
Yeah. Also, Jesus did everything. He everything that he's asked of us, he's done. And he did not need to be baptized, but he was baptized to show us that that's what we should do.
That's a great point. Yes, he did everything to be, and he was perfectly obedient, and he was God and man. All right, so the next one is the foundation. So we fully understand salvation. Our first step to obedience is water baptism. And then we're going after Acts chapter 2, verses 38 through 39. What should we do? Repent, be baptized, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So what we want to make sure that we understand as believers is that who the Holy Spirit is before attempting to explain the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is God, a member of the Trinity. He's a he, not an it. He's not a force. He's not a power. He is God. The Holy Spirit is a real person, not a vapor or a cloud. The Holy Spirit is called the Helper and the Spirit of Truth. And Jesus said it was good that I go because I'm going to send the Helper. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to help you. And the Holy Spirit is a good gift given by God the Father from those of us who ask. Luke 11:13 says, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Now, I want to pause here because when you start walking somebody through the scriptures, you realize now repent is something we do. Be baptized is something we do. The Holy Spirit is someone we receive. And for some people, that is scary. Like, I was a little scared. Like, Holy Spirit, like, that's you can't rationally work through that. Like, you know, there's this powerful thing that's going to come upon me that, you know. And if you tell someone you're going to receive a good gift from God your Father, and they have not had that example in their life, that doesn't resonate. There's some fear that might come up. There might have been some terrible abuse that comes up, or abandonment, or just never had that. There's no concept there. So it's really taking the time realizing this is something more than just, well, you just need this. And, you know, like meeting the person where they're at, making sure they understand who God is, whatever our earthly father looks like, or if we ever had that or not, God isn't like that. He's perfect. He'll never give you anything that you have to be afraid of. And part of who the Spirit is, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. So you're not going to feel out of control. Like, you know, like this, don't wait for this thing that will make your tongue move and then, you know, like you don't know what you're doing. God, that's not part of who his essence is. He is self-control. So I can choose when to speak in tongues, and I can choose when that, but I know when the Spirit comes upon me and like comes on my natural reactions, I want to pray in my prayer language. And sometimes you feel so overwhelmed, your whole body just kind of gives out. Maybe you've seen that happen in a service, but like God doesn't knock you down or push you around. It's just, you're so overwhelmed by the presence of God. And so it's taking your time to just go through the scriptures and, so, and again, like we were talking about water baptism earlier, it's important to take them through the Word because the Word is truth and the Word builds our faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So if you want to go back, there's an appendix in the back. And walking someone through the Scriptures, baptism in the Holy Spirit. I still, to this day, this isn't all, there's something in here that I want you to strike out later, but years ago, I mean, I've used this kind of concept for 25 years, 30 years. Just last week, you didn't get it? Oh. Just last Saturday, I was explaining the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I still pull this document out. So this is for you to keep. Maybe you want to write in the back of your Bible or in your app on your phone, just kind of a nice progression of how to share the baptism of the Holy Spirit with somebody. And just remember now, you already receive the Holy Spirit when you repent and believe. However, baptism in the Holy Spirit is a post-conversion experience. And so this is just a suggested path of explanation for teaching someone about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I start with John chapter 20. And it says, after Jesus' resurrection, he breathed on his disciples and he gave them the Holy Spirit for salvation. John 20 says, when he had said this, he breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. And then, so now these people that Jesus has breathed on and said, receive the Holy Spirit, now he's talking to these same people, okay? These same believers who had already received the Holy Spirit for salvation are now told to wait in the city of Jerusalem until they are clothed with power from on high. Jesus said, behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city till you're clothed with power from on high. So then Luke, Acts is a continuation of Luke. Both Jesus and John the Baptist told their disciples that though they had been baptized in water, they would soon be baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire. The baptism in the Holy Spirit gives us power to be witnesses here on earth. So are we asking for the baptism of the Holy Spirit so we can speak in tongues? No. We're asking for the power to be the witness that he wants us to be. But the evidence in every case in the book of Acts, except one that's not clear, but it's there underneath the surface, is that everybody that says we're filled with the Holy Spirit, it also says they spoke in other tongues. So we're just going off the biblical examples. Because some people get off and say, well, you're not saved if you don't speak in tongues. No, I don't believe that. But this is a good gift that God says, wait for it. Don't even go out. Don't leave home without it, right? Wait. Like they've already had an encounter with Jesus, but wait. There's something I want to give you. There's someone I want to give you because I want you to take my message to the ends of the earth, but I want you to be empowered with power from on high. And we all need that. So, a good example of this is the power of the Holy Spirit seen in the life of Peter. I mean, let's talk about Peter for a minute. Before Jesus was crucified, Peter denied him three times, presumably out of fear. In Acts chapter 2, after Peter was saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit, he preached a powerful message and 3,000 souls were saved. The Holy Spirit is powerful within us. So once you've gone through these tried to answer any questions they might have, after you've gone through the scriptures above, lead them through the various accounts of believers being baptized with the Holy Spirit found in the book of Acts. Now, at this point, I encourage you to look up every scripture and have them read it out loud. Because if they say those words out loud, and then it says, the believer spoke in tongues and praised God for his wondrous works when they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's a short version of it. But, then the believers had received the word of God in Samaria in Acts chapter 8, but had yet to receive the baptism of the Spirit. And then when believers received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, in Acts chapter 10, it says they spoke in tongues and were water baptized. And then Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 6, when the believers in Ephesus received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they spoke in tongues and prophesied. And I'm going to read that verse out loud. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So he's talking to disciples, he's talking to believers, and he's asking them, have they received the Holy Spirit? And they said, no. They said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is the Holy Spirit. Brand new information to them. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Jesus Christ. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So they had received a baptism before faith in Christ, and they were re-water baptized. So sometimes you're going to run into people that say, well, I was baptized when I was 2 at my church. They didn't repent and believe in Jesus before that. They just did what their church told them to do. So this is also a good scripture you can point to. We are water baptized after faith in Christ. And if we were baptized before that, then you want to be re-water baptized. Now, you don't want to, go to every new church you joined It's a one-time deal. Not every time you join a new church, you need to be rebaptized. But it's after faith, after conversion. So, what's that?
Unless you join a Baptist church.
Oh, well, I never was Baptist. it's funny. So scripturally, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them. Disciples, believers, the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. And so a couple of stories, again, going back to my very, very early days, I was a brand new Christian and we had church at night and I had this little VW, little yellow VW car, and I was giving a gal home, a ride home from church, and she had never been prayed or she'd never been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so we stopped the car. I'm about to drop her off. And he said, well, we could pray right now. And, you know, I think at the time my voice probably sounded like, well, we could pray right now. I'm sure I was terrified. But we prayed. And she, right in the car, my little VW Super Beetle, she got filled with the Holy Spirit. And that was amazing. And then after we were very young pastors, well, I remember this. The couch, it was like this gold-colored couch. I had this young lady sitting, beautiful, wonderful Christian woman. She had never heard about the whole... It was almost like this Acts 19. And I said, look what it says it'll do. You'll speak in tongues, and then you'll prophesy. And so right, she just got her prayer language right then, and then she got a prophetic word because the atmosphere was there. We read the scriptures together, and then she just... gave me a prophecy. It was amazing. And so, but again, it's the word that's powerful. It's, you know, you were just vessels. Okay, Lord, I'm willing. Let's let your word do the work but watch how people get, filled. So there's two ways we see God baptize people in the Holy Spirit in the scriptures. The disciples were baptized in the Holy Spirit as God supernaturally poured out his spirit. So nobody touched them. God came, the tongues of fire came. Others received the baptism in the Holy Spirit by God's servants laying hands on them and praying. So if you've received the gift, like at our last experiencing spiritual freedom, which I hope you can all take, we had a time for people to be filled with the Holy Spirit there, and everybody that had already been filled just came up and prayed for those other people. So it's not like it's saved for the special pastors. It's a believer that's been filled can pray for someone to be filled. And so either God super, and I read, you hear accounts both ways. Someone just wakes up in their bed, starts speaking in tongues, pulls off the side of the road, starts speaking in tongues. Other times they come to the altar and they get prayed for. So there's, you can see both. So that next bullet point, the baptism of the Holy Spirit activates the spiritual gifts. Can you please scratch that? That was supposed to be taken out. That wasn't. The baptism of the Holy Spirit activates the spiritual gifts God gives us when we are born again. So that's not quite, I want to take that out. But it's more complicated. This doesn't quite capture what I want to say. We have the Holy Spirit when we're saved, but the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit seems to be imparted by the laying on of hands or asking for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So just scratch that. We'll fix it for next time. Okay, now this is where people get stuck. A lot of people get stuck on the gifts of the Spirit. And, they've been around it, but they think, well, I didn't get that gift of speaking in tongues. And so what you want to do is point them to 1 Corinthians 14, where it talks about in 12 the variety of spiritual gifts. And then in 14, it talks about desiring the spiritual gifts. And then I love right in the middle of 12 and 14 is the chapter on love. Remember, without love, all this is just noise. So, right? So there's the gift of tongues, which is in a public setting. You probably heard Pastor James has the gift of tongues. And he'll sometimes just start speaking in tongues on stage. But it always have an interpretation. The first time I ever heard it was in one of my life groups a long time ago. I'm like, it was just, cool. But there was right away, it was like a prophecy, but with a tongue and an interpretation. the ability to speak in tongues as a heavenly language between you and God is a different thing. Now, but once you have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, all the gifts are available to you, but there'll be ones that you'll be more like kind of proficient in, I guess, you know. Some people are like miracles, tongues, interpretation, prophecy, you know, administration, spiritual gift. Like, there's just things that we're all wired differently. But if you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they're all available to you. You can receive a prophetic, you can discern spirits, word of wisdom, word of knowledge. Jesus was moving in the word of wisdom, word of knowledge at the well, with the woman at the well. But that he was exercising a spiritual gift, which we have available to us. If you're able to use that when you're ministering to somebody that doesn't know the Lord, and you're able to, and the Holy Spirit gives you something about their life, and then you're like, they're like, "How did you know that?" And I didn't know that, but God knew that. That's how much He loves you. He'd send me to tell you. You know what I mean? So it's powerful. Jude 20, praying in the Holy Spirit builds up our faith. That is powerful, and that's something for the rest of your life. If you're feeling weak spiritually, just start walking around praying in tongues. Just start exercising your prayer language. You're not going to stay down too long. You're going to start building yourself up in your most holy faith. That's one of the things that is amazing about that. So then getting back down, I'm just trying to explain really quickly how you receive the baptism. You receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit by faith. And Paul said, this thing I want to learn from you in Galatians 3. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Having begun in the Spirit, are you being made perfect in the flesh? So again, therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? So now for me, I was still trying to, I've been saved, and then someone started explaining to me about water baptism, being filled with the Holy Spirit. I didn't think I was good enough yet, because there was still stuff in my life I was trying to, you know, get right with God. So I was sure that God wouldn't, give me that gift. And so I had done, you know, but God just met me where I was at. I remember where I was. There was a bunch of us ladies in this house, we were praying together. And I mean, God just filled me with His Holy Spirit. And I just went around. I was so happy. I just went around crying and hugging everybody. Because He doesn't wait till we're perfect. He just comes in His mercy and His grace. And He gives us His Spirit. The Spirit of God. Who knows the mind of Christ. And you can have the heart of God. And you can see Him move through your life while you're still working out your stuff. Isn't that amazing? So we're all, aren't we? Just we're all like, here we are, Lord, use us. So this is, so what you want to make, again, because you're asking someone to remember, we're asking them to receive a supernatural gift. And I found, like my husband Bruce, very linear thinker. Sometimes linear thinkers, he was prayed for a few times because it took a few times to get through the layers. And there's nothing wrong with that. God, that's a beautiful gift to be a linear thinker for those, all y'all. but other people, it's instant. It doesn't mean there's something wrong with you. It's just wherever you're at. But I would wait to pray until you sense there's some kind of faith there. It's like, if they're just like, well, I guess so. I mean, just wait, you know, and go over the scriptures again. Tell them to think about it, pray about it. Have them go through the purple book for themselves and just make sure. And again, this is in conjunction with the purple book. This is just kind of more of a how-to, and that's not really in the purple book. That's why I like to bring it in here. So if they say yes, just be sure to explain what you're going to do. And I'm going to lay hands on you. The Holy Spirit's going to fill you, and you're going to be able to speak in tongues, and God's going to give you a new heavenly language. The Bible says, out of your belly flow rivers of living water, and He will give you that new language. But that means that you will have to, He won't move your tongue, though. You have to, like, cooperate. And so, and then encourage them to respond in faith and speak out in a new heavenly language. Now here at Bethel, I know people have had moments in their life groups where, you know, some People haven't been filled, so they'll take that time in their life group. Every first Wednesday of the month during our prayer meeting time, we offer a time at the end of service for people to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So if you feel like, wow, I would like some support, you know, if you don't want to, like I said, I've prayed with someone in the, just one-on-one in the car and in my living room. So there's no right place or whatever feels comfortable. There's opportunities is what I'm saying. And in our second Connect class, they learn about the Holy Spirit. And they have an opportunity to be prayed for to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you take experiencing spiritual freedom, we offer time there to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So there's many, many opportunities. But just know that you are empowered. If you've been filled, you have the ability to pray for somebody else. So, yeah. So, and then a couple cool stories from this class from a couple of years ago. Right after class, one of the gals that's actually on staff now, but she walked out of class and whoever she was sitting next to didn't have her prayer language. She prayed for her. She got filled with the Spirit. Another young man told me after he left, he'd been asking God, and then after this class, he just walked outside the door and started speaking in tongues. So anyway, it's like, wow, that's so cool. So anyway, that's amazing. I don't know where you're all at with that, but we're going to take a moment now to talk about going back to our normal our discussion questions. So there was one. There's about water baptism and being filled with the Holy Spirit. If you could just take time and talk in a smaller group. Okay, I think we, for time's sake, we probably better bring it back around. So just a recap again. Number one, you know, we talked about salvation, which we understand it's a one-time event, but an ongoing event. Water baptism again. We do that once after conversion. We see the results of it the rest of our life. The Holy Spirit, we're prayed for to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But the Bible says to be filled and keep being filled. So it's an ongoing thing. So it's once, but it's ongoing. And now we're going to talk about today. The last thing today is something that we want to see established in our lives and in anybody we're helping the rest of our life. And that is the importance of the Word. So one of the most important things you can do for a new believer is help them to read and study the Bible. It's critical that we teach them to go to God and His Word for answers to the needs in their life. What does God's Word have to say about it? This will strengthen their faith in God, not man. Like I said, you don't want them to be dependent on you for all the answers. Well, what do you think about this and what do you think about that? Well, what have you prayed about it? What does God's Word say? If you don't know, let's look together. And I told you the first time, one of the best ways is just go sit and read the Bible with someone. Like, just hang out. Like, hey, you bring your Bible, I'll bring my Bible. Let's just read the Word together. And a great thing to start with, like I said before, was this one-to-one, or just start them on the Purple Book together. Hey, just read chapter one by the time, and let's just talk about it. And it's just so easy, and it's all there for you. And that Purple Book, it really is just 12 chapters about any, like, basic Christianity to help build that firm foundation over many, many areas of your life so that they can point back to that and they can point to the Bible. It's great. So why don't we all read Colossians 3:16 together since it's written there? Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Yes, so we are just going to talk about how important the Word of God is. And another good thing you can ask someone, that if you start helping them grow in the Lord, just add now and then, what are you learning out of the Word? What's God speaking to you out of the Word? You know, then the answer will be, gosh, I haven't read my Bible for a while. Or, wow, I was reading this verse today, and I remember being a young Christian, and like it was all like brand new information. So I'd just go up and like, look what it says right there. And they'd be like really nice to me. And they're probably like, wow, she's really excited. And I'd be so excited about it, you know, because it was like, look, it says, you know, I'd be like Colossians 1, and I'd be like blown away by it. And you know, so anyway, it's just good to help develop a hunger for the Word of God. And this is how we get our daily walk. And Pastor James made great mention of it today. There's little things you do over and over and over and over again that make you strong. And I'm telling you, the Word of God is something I was put into me as a young believer. I mean, it's something that I've practiced as a lifestyle for 35 years. But what I love about the Bible is I never get tired of it. Like, it just never gets old. Like, sometimes it might be dry or I'm not like, but when I'm into something I'm really excited about and I'm studying it, it's changed my life. And I'm so happy. But I'll tell you this, something else to watch out for, and maybe this happened in your own life. I think it happens to every Christian. There's a time when the honeymoon phase is over,
yes.
Right? You prayed that prayer and you feel like, I got saved, and you're like amazed. And then one day you wake up and you don't have those feelings. Oh, I'll never forget when that happened to me. I'm like, and I went to church and I was sure that preacher was like preaching right to me and he saw stuff in me and I'm like, oh no, he knows everything I'm doing wrong or something, and like I'm just bad or, you know, just like I was like, what's wrong with me? I don't feel like I was feeling, what's wrong? And what I didn't realize was God was promoting me, because he was teaching me how to live by faith and not by my feelings. It felt like a punishment, but really it was a promotion. And because, we've got to, the just shall live by faith, not by how we feel. And he loved me enough to make sure it was like the birth of the church in Acts. There was a time when they had favor with all the people. God was making sure to give them faith, to help them get established. But guess what came? Not a few chapters later, persecution. And we're going to get tested, and we're going to get tried. And sometimes it's, maybe sometimes I feel guilty because I've sinned. Other times the devil's just trying to condemn me. And you got to learn how to discern which one it is, especially if you're helping somebody from a Catholic background. Just recognize that they've been taught guilt, condemnation, that they've got to earn it. Sometimes I'm not trying to diss on it, but that's a mindset that is kind of prevalent in the Catholic faith. So to get this revelation, anybody raised Catholic in here? Okay, she's like, yeah. Is it true? Is it?
When I went to Catholic high school, we opened the Bible only once on one page, and that's it.
Wow, yeah.
So void of a relationship with
God. Yes, so, yeah. So the idea that you earn your salvation... And if it's up to you, are you ever going to arrive? So you're always going to feel almost woulda, coulda, shoulda, condemned. And remember, the voice of the enemy is vague. Well, you're just a rotten person. The Holy Spirit, the devil condemns, the Holy Spirit convicts. You said that, you shouldn't have said that. You had an angry thought, you shouldn't have done that. So then you realize it, and you're sorry, and you put it off. But the devil says, see, you're never going to make it. You're rotten. You're not a good Christian. I mean, and when you start hearing that, and then you start, because you've been in the Word day after day, no, that's not the voice of God talking to me. You got to practice that, though. You got to practice it over and over and over again. So that's why this is so important. If someone starts feeling like, I don't know, I just don't feel right anymore. You check, of course. Or are you practicing habitual sin? Well, that's because then the Holy Spirit's convicting you. But if not, then God's trying to teach you to walk by faith. You might not have the feeling. He still loves you the same as the day you felt so ooey-gooey. Like, those are awesome times. But God loves you the same whether you feel like that or you don't. He doesn't never changes. So we change because maybe I ate something that spiked my blood sugar. You know what I mean? Like then I'm, or had a triple latte or I don't know. But God never changes. So it's important to help new believers establish the discipline of reading the Bible every day. Encourage them to set a realistic goal and be faithful. And so, again, remembering that this is not going to come natural. especially in the world that we live in today, where this is natural. Like, you know, like, oh, what's the next thing on Facebook? You can do that for 3 hours and then realize, oh, I didn't read my Bible today. You know, it's like, you know, like at first, if you got to put an appointment in your phone, spend time with God, you know, like make an appointment like you'd go to the dentist. Like, you know what I mean? It's like helping somebody find that time. Are you a night person or are you a morning person? Like, I'm a total morning person. Like, if I don't start my day reading the Bible, it's like, ah, you know, but other people, it's 11 now, I woke up at night, you know, and maybe that's the time when your mind's going to be fully engaged, but find the time where God's going to get your best time. You know what I mean? So, memorizing scriptures, this is it's a powerful way to become established in the Word. I encourage you to memorize verses that you end up using a lot. There's some that Isaiah 30 verse 18, I put this memory many years ago because I've used it so many times to encourage people. It says, the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He waits on high to show you compassion. Now I'm not memorizing it some, but anyway, the posture of God towards us. Is he mad? Is he waiting to get? No, he's waiting to show you compassion. That's his heart towards you. There might be favorite verses that you love to use in evangelism or trying to help somebody walk in their faith. I encourage you to put them to memory for yourself. And then they're there. There's Bible reading plans. And again, it depends on the kind of person you are. Again, if you're the linear thinker, maybe that just, you love to tick the boxes off. Not that God's a tick box off person, but like, what's going to help you establish this important truth to do that? You can do word studies. A powerful word study that we did many, many years ago is the word study on the word grace. And just every place it's in the scripture, and we have this little, you know, the verse, and you write out what the verse says, and then you think about it and get insight on it. And Bruce did it, and I did it many years ago, and it was very life-changing. A character study, maybe studying the life of David, looking over a topic. When I was a brand new Christian, I wanted to know what that word submit meant, because there it was in the Bible, and what does that mean, and stuff like that. There was a time in my life where I had a big enemy, and that enemy was named fear. And God did such a powerful work in my life using that thing that he didn't immediately deliver me from. I had to go after it, and it was my enemy. And Psalm 18 says that David said, I pursued my enemies, and I did not stop until I overtook them. Fear had a grip on my life that I didn't like. It was affecting me emotionally, physically, and I had to go after it. And I'm telling you, there's 1 month, I think I read the same chapter in the Bible over and over and over again till it got inside of me. And then he gave me tools on how to walk out of that. I can talk to you offline if you'd like about that. But it was powerful. It was what helped me be delivered, because God's word delivers. Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And so it's available. Sometimes you get that instant, and other times you got to work for it. You got to fight, because it's a good fight. You're fighting the good fight of the faith. Have them pray scriptures over themselves as they begin to read the word. And this is what I've taught many, many times, where to start with Ephesians 1:17, it says, that God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So just think, if you open your Bible every morning and you say, God, I pray you give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. You're going to open that. You're going to approach your Bible in a different way. If you pray that and you believe that God will answer, you're going to learn something about him right then. He's going to reveal himself to you. And so anyway, those things are helpful. Pray Psalm 119. Pray that God would open up their eyes, open my eyes, that I might hold wonderful things in your law. I'm trying to, okay, there we are. I'm like, where am I? Okay. and then ask the Holy Spirit to teach him truth through the Word of God. If something's confusing to you, just ask, like 1 John says, the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teaches you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, just as it is taught you, you will abide in him. That doesn't mean there's not valid teachers in the body of Christ, but you have the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of you, can illuminate truth to you and teach you about things. So that's amazing. So why is it so important? Why is it so important that we understand how to read the Bible? Because that's how we get to know God. It's his love letter to us. How do we get to know his thoughts? And Jesus said, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus that you've sent. And then the Romans, that our mind is renewed. It says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How in the world will your mind get renewed if you don't put something new in it? You know, right? It's like if you stop eating junk food, but you don't put the good stuff in, how's your body going to be nourished, right? But it's the same. We've got to get his thoughts in our lives to discover God's will for our lives and his people. I love this verse because people will ask, well, what's God's will for my life? Well, here it is. Solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So in other words, the idea that by continuing to read his word, that you'll be able to discern between what is good and what is evil. And it's not always clear, but this is how you sharpen your ability to hear from God, is just have it come into your, have the word come into your life. Build up your faith, as faith comes by hearing the word of God to show us where we need to change. The word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. When going back to my very early years, we were very young in ministry. We had no money and just very, very poor, and it was a very, very tough pastoral situation with a very young congregation. And I remember reading this verse in Hebrews 13, verse 16, and it says, and don't forget to be generous and share with others, for which such sacrifices God is pleased. And I'm telling you, it was hard for me to share back then because we didn't have a lot. So I wanted to hang on. And that verse would come, I read that verse and it became a revelation to me. So the next time I was tempted to want to hold on, no, I'm going to be generous and willing to share. God is pleased with such sacrifice. And he did something on the inside of me that was against my normal nature at that time, you know what I mean? And helped me to just cultivate that in my life when it was in a season of my life where that was very, very hard. So, because it was illuminated on the inside of me. And there's nothing, I love it when God brings a scripture to light, where it becomes revelation to you. Nobody can take that away from you. It's yours. It's like a truth. You know, you can read it, but when you read it and he is alive, it's like it's yours. It got deep on the inside. And a lot of times it is through trials, like I was just saying. But then it's yours and nobody can take it away from you. Believers are established in the Word by understanding how to read the Scriptures, so a good study Bible. And again, if you have a brand new Christian, they're brand new to faith, you want to just take them right down the Lifeway. Let's pick out a book or go on Amazon or whatever, pick out a good book. The ESV study Bible's good. How to Read the Bible for All It's Worth. That's a great book on understanding. There's different literally genres in the Bible. There's poetry, there's wisdom, there's history. So how do you read that in light of it all being truth in God's Word? It's important to know that. Okay. And then to meditate and to ponder, to consider the Word. Sometimes it's fun to just take a verse, and I just did it 2 days ago. Somebody sent me a Psalm 62, verses 1 or 2, and I did it with this. But the one I usually say in here is Psalm 34, 1. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. And so just take it, realizing every single word comes from the mouth of God. So I will bless the Lord at all times. I don't care what anybody else is doing. I will bless the Lord at all times. Now, I will bless the Lord at all times. That tells me I have to make my mind up. Sometimes I have to make a decision. I will bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord. What does it mean to bless the Lord? If you don't know, like another translation says extol. Well, what does that mean? Well, bless means to express or feel gratitude to thank. So then I think about that word. I'm going to thank you. I'm going to bless you, Lord. I will bless the Lord. There is no other Lord. He is God. There is no other God. I will bless the Lord. Like I said, He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. I mean, you can take one script. I was so edified the other day, but doing it on the other one. It's like, wow. I mean, you just read five words. You just, I mean, that's the Bible, right? I mean, you could do that anytime you want. Isn't that amazing? It's just like amazing. Sorry, I get a little excited about this part. And then the last part there is believers are established in the Word when they confess the Word over their lives and the lives of others. And I'm telling you, this, you'll never outgrow this. Like, sometimes I got to come back to this. Like, I start saying, I am the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Greater is He who is in me than he who is in the world. I overcome by the word, the blood of the Lamb, by the word of my testimony, not loving my life even unto death. If God is for me, who can be against me? Don't you feel edified? I mean, you start saying that out of your mouth, you get built up. I mean, that is the powerful word of God. You have to remind yourself sometimes. There was a guy that made a confession tape when I was, I'm saying cassette, so long time. Popped that tape in my car, and then he would say, I'm the righteousness of God, Jesus Christ, and leave a blank so you could say it back. It was like awesome. So I had just been filled with the Holy Spirit, so I practiced that a little bit, and it feels weird at first to speak in tongues. I practiced that, and then I'd say my confession tapes, and just those things, they build you up. You know, whether you feel it that day or not, they definitely build you up. So, and then of course you're established in the Word when you obey the Word. And don't just be a hearer of the word, like James says, but be a doer of the word. And so the very last thing I'm going to point out, because I think I just run out of time, is I have 2 seconds. Oh, 2 minutes. Oh, whew, God, so much time. Yeah. Is there's one more piece of paper you should have received about daily Bible reading, the SOAP method. Did you get that? Okay. It's just a tool, like, you know, I've mentioned various things, but just for an exercise for this next, for your homework this time, we're just asking you to take Acts 1:8 and try to apply this method. Just the first part. We'll talk about the prayer part next time. But here again, a quick prayer like, Lord, open my eyes to understand Your Word and reveal Yourself to me. So read a short passage, and I'm asking you to read Acts chapter 1 verse 8, and then it asks you a few questions. What do I see about God or Jesus in this passage? And journal it. And then what do I see about people? Journal it. Where am I in this passage? Or what does God want me to see? Ask Him and journal it. And so you're just stop. I mean, you know, you might think at first, well, I don't know if I'm going to get all that out of there. I'm telling you, if you stop and you think about it, it'll be amazing what God will reveal to you. And you might want to try it on another verse at another time or a passage. And then apply, how is God calling me to believe or behave differently as a result of what I'm seeing? And journal it. And then pray, and then pray that God would help you. Like, power to be a witness. Well, Lord, I see now that I have power because the Holy Spirit is, I don't know if I believed that before. I believe it now. And so now help me to have power to be, you know, to believe in the power that You give me, or whatever. That's just a small example. So, and then just pray that God would help you. So, we're going to stop now, but if, I don't know, going back to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if you've not had that ability to be prayed for, or you've not had that ability to pray in tongues, I'm going to be available, and any of that want to stay after next week to pray with you. But there's something for every believer, and I pray that you have a rich time in the Word this week. And I'm going to pray pray. Lord, I do pray, God. Thank you for reminding us who you are. You're all-powerful. You're almighty. We thank you for your living word that lives inside of us and changes us and helps us to become all you've created us to be. I pray a blessing on every student, Lord, this week to find hidden treasures in your word, God. There's so much more that we haven't even scratched the surface of your living, holy word. I pray you give them ability to share their faith and reach out and love the people around them. And Lord, continue to open their eyes of who they can love on and minister to this week in Jesus' name.